Hey, welcome to the podcast. Great one today. We start with abortion, everybody's favorite topic. We talk about got to be open-minded. And so we introduce hashtag Mommy's Choice, which you don't want to miss.
Not to mention, there was a New York bookstore that closed because they were so offended by the law and what it means for people's lives. And we actually talked to the shop owner.
Yeah, he closed his doors because he said I'm not going to pay income tax, state income tax, to a state that is doing this. He said, I know I have to pay income tax or I'll be in prison, and I'll be first in line to go to prison. So I only closed my shop for a day to make that statement. We talked to him also. Oh, thank goodness Microsoft is here. They've got a new media shield. You'll never guess who you can trust and who you can't. Man-made climate change. Also, Andrew Heaton, Venezuela. So much to get to in today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Patriot Mobile is a phone service that will give you all of the great coverage that you want. They're just not going to take the money from you and then invest that in causes that you don't believe in, like Planned Parenthood. Patriot Mobile actually is going to let you invest your money into the causes that you believe in. But most of these cell companies, They give all kinds of money to crazy, crazy causes that you work hard against.
It's true. Why do that? You can go with Patriot Mobile. They were created to solve that problem. They're the only conservative cell phone company in America. Go to patriotmobile.com/blaze. Get started today. When you use the offer code blaze, they're going to waive the activation fee for up to two lines. Patriotmobile.com/blaze or 1-800-A-PATRIOT is the place to go.
On Tuesday, the 46th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, New York lawmakers gave themselves a standing ovation for the overwhelming vote to allow unrestricted abortion in the first 6 months of pregnancy or even later in the pregnancy if a doctor determines it's necessary for the health of the mother. Now, the health of the mother literally includes anything.
Well, no, Glenn, it does. Typical right-wing nut job. It does not. It's first of all, it's the health
somebody
of the
call
mother.
Microsoft Shield.
Get into that later. It's not at all true that it's anything.
Right.
It's just simply all factors.
Which
factors.
Sounds,
that's all.
But that's anything.
Well, physical.
Yes.
Emotional.
Psychological.
Familial.
What is that even?
The woman's age.
All right.
Anything that's relevant to the well-being of the patient.
Anything that's relevant. So that sounds like anything.
Well, it's anything as long as you at least say something. I think if you went in there and said, you know what, I have no reason for this abortion, technically they could say no to you. However, if you said you had a reason that you think would improve your well-being, they could not reject you because,
so in
again,
other words,
it's all factors relevant to the well-being of the patient.
Doctor, I'm really freaking out because of the babysitter responsibilities.
You're fine. Abort it. Okay. Get that thing out of there.
I'm not sure I'll know somebody who could babysit my kid
in 10
years.
Doesn't matter. Don't even think about it. Abort it. That's kind of the New York policy right now.
Okay, I see the difference. I'm sorry.
If you were to say, I actually have a wonderful babysitter, and they're reasonably priced, and I just... You know, I was going to say, if you say you just don't want the baby, that would be enough to get rid of the baby. If you walked in and you said, I don't know if I want the baby or not, but please abort it. I still think that would still qualify, but it would be questionable.
Well, but you'd have to get a doctor to do that. And if you don't think doctors would come up with a billion reasons to justify very late term abortions under this law, then you're not familiar with leftist logic. State Senator Liz Krueger. I wonder any relation with Freddie, a Manhattan.
You know, I'm going to guess it was through marriage.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it was through marriage.
Yeah, sure.
That was a choice.
Well, her mother, if it wasn't through marriage and she was related to Freddie, her mother could have said when Liz was in the room, I've already have one demon seed son. I can't have another child. Anyway, luckily for her, she wasn't aborted, and she sponsored the act. And she said, quote, "There is nothing radical about this bill. The decision about whether or not to have an abortion is deeply personal, and it should not have taken this long to get to this day." So now here's what the law guarantees to women in New York. You can terminate your child at any time before giving birth. You can do so without any criminal repercussions. According to the bill, reasons that might threaten the health of the mother include, like Stu said, all factors relevant to the well-being of the patient: physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and the women's and the woman's age. So you got an unborn kid. Gosh, I hope that kid doesn't find himself in the womb of a woman in New York. You're 6 weeks away from making it out alive, but your mom's really not feeling up to the parental challenge right now. It's too emotionally draining. The doctor agrees, yeah, but it's going to be really hard on her. So it's best for the mom. Again, I go to where we started. Where is the justice in that? Who's justice? I want to give you another story. The death demand is going way up. Now, in Europe, they have, in the Netherlands, they have legalized euthanasia for a long time. So if you want to see the future, all you have to do now is look to the Netherlands. And you can see that euthanasia appears to become unstoppable after a few years. Some of the stories that are now coming out are pretty shocking. The Bible now, of course, has been sidelined, and reason has been sidelined. Emotional attachment to anything at the end of its life or the beginning of the life has been sidelined. The Dutch people that are being euthanized began to rise sharply from under 2,000 in 2007 to almost 6,600 10 years later. Now, that's the same number are estimated to have their euthanasia request turned down as not conforming with the legal requirements. In 2017, some 1,900 Dutch people just killed themselves, while the number of people who died under sedation, in theory succumbing to their illness while cocooned from physical discomfort, was 32,000. So what that means is well over 25% of all deaths in the Netherlands in 2017 was induced.
That's incredible.
Almost 30% of all deaths in the Netherlands induced. Now, here's where it gets bad. You have to write an advance directive that says, hey, if I get to this state, you got to kill me. Please kill me. Whether or not they the family disagrees or even the patient disagrees, this is kind of a problem. Because there is a growing number of people who have put a directive together that say, if I get to this state, I want to die. So in other words, if I get to the state where I don't recognize my family members, my life isn't worth living. And so there's a growing number of people. Once you put that directive in, you can't stop that directive. There's a growing number of people, and one of the first cases was from a woman that said, you know, if I get to this point in my pain, I'm just not going to be able to handle it, and so I want you to kill me. And so she wrote it down, and she signed it. Well, she got to that point in her pain, and she said, you know, but I actually can handle it. Life is, I'm just not in the space that I was, and this is more tolerable than I thought. So, no, they couldn't take no for an answer. So they strapped her down to the bed, and her family held her down as she was injected and died. She was killed while saying, no, I've changed my mind.
That is incredible. I mean, that is, it's the, that's an entire society just giving up their connection to life being important. Right.
I mean, and deciding what life has meaning and purpose in advance. I don't know about you, Stu, but I can't believe the change in me in just in 15 years. If you would have asked me 20 years ago, and you know, I probably said this to you 20 years ago. Oh, my gosh. I know I said it to Tanya when we got married. No more children. No more children. No more children. I don't want any more children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My first wife, I said, no children. I don't want children. We have two children. Then I got married and I said, no children. And Tanya's like, well, then I'm not marrying you. I'm like, one. We have two. And honest to God, I am the one begging my wife to adopt more. We can't have any more children, but I am begging to adopt more. And I have said, I don't know how many times in the last 2 years to friends and others, family is the only thing. It's the only thing. Have as many children as you possibly can. And I don't know how I would stand it because they still drive me nuts when they're all talking. But I love it. It is the only thing that matters. Well, am I bound by what I thought 20 years ago? Of what I wanted, of what I thought was important? Nothing of what I thought was important even 10 years ago is the same.
I mean, that is kind of the growth process, right?
Yes.
You know?
If not, you are dead. If you're not growing, if you're not changing, you might as well be dead. What are you doing? You should be exploring. You should be experiencing new things. You should have new feelings. You should have new understandings of things.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. I mean, if you are arguing, please don't kill me. There are, with the exception of, I mean, arguably the death penalty, right? Like, what is the, if you're guilty of a capital crime, then maybe you could argue for it. But in all those cases, you pretty much don't kill the person.
And you know what's amazing? It's like, and this is the government enforcing it. Yeah. This is the government enforcing it. And why are they enforcing it? Because you're a drain on society. Because you're a useless eater. That's why. Since when do when would somebody say, you know, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want this. And the government imposes that law. No. You signed. In everything else, we look the other way. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was sticking classified documents that he smuggled out of the National Archives literally in his underpants and his socks. Oh, well, things happen. Here's a woman who's strapped to the bed going, no, I've changed my mind. Sorry, the law's the law. And we should all grow. And I want to tell you today, I've looked at this. I've looked at this, and I believe I've changed, Stu. And and today I would like to launch a new initiative on this program, and I've put a little something together. Listen. Here it is.
I am.
I am a woman.
And I have a choice.
A choice.
A choice to work.
A choice to achieve.
A choice to succeed.
A choice to fly.
To fly.
To fly.
A choice to be anything.
A choice to be anything that I want to be.
I am
a woman.
And I have a choice.
I have a choice
to be a mother.
I have a choice when it's the morning after.
I have a choice at 1 month.
I have a choice at 3 months.
I have a choice in the second trimester.
I have a choice 3 seconds before birth. Or 3 seconds after birth.
I have a choice the first year when they can't sleep through the night.
When they can't sleep through the night.
I definitely have a choice during the terrible twos.
During the terrible twos.
I have a choice when I get sick of Little League and soccer practice.
I hate soccer.
I have a choice. I have a choice when they hit those awkward teen years.
I have a choice when they go off to college.
I have a choice on their wedding day.
Their wedding day.
I have two choices when I become a grandmother.
I'm a mother.
I am a mother.
I am a mother.
And every mother has a right to choose their child's expiration date.
No mother.
No mother should have to unwillingly suffer.
Suffer through a day where their child is alive.
Not one single day.
If I want them gone, they're gone.
They're gone.
It's all about women.
It's all about choice.
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 It's all about me.
It's all about me. Me, me.
Me, me, me.
Me, 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 me.
Me, me.
Me, me, me.
Me, me, me.
Join the movement.
Join the movement.
Join the movement.
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Mommy's choice.
Make sure you spread that around today. Hashtag mommy's choice. And remember, kids, we brought you into this world. We can take you out. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. First, our sponsor for behind the scenes is Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock is a great system. They're the only ones that are standing really at the gateway of the vault where all titles are kept digitally. They are the sentinels. They can see everything coming into that vault and going out of that vault when it's being changed. There's nobody else that is at that choke point that can see everything, which puts them into a great place to make sure that your title remains your title.
Don't be a victim of home title fraud. It's not a world you want to live in. For pennies a day, I signed up for Home Title Lock. Glenn has signed up, Pat as well.
Yeah.
Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Register now for a free title scan and report to see if your home is already compromised. It's $100 value. They'll give it to you free when you sign up at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Microsoft is fighting fake news. And they've just come out with their NewsGuard. Now, the NewsGuard is something that will give you a green check mark when you go to the website, or a red shield that says, look out, this is an untrustworthy news site. Now, they've done this anti-malware for the mind for you. And so the green check marks are awarded to CNN, green check mark, MSNBC, green check mark, NBC News, green check mark, Washington Post, green, Slate, green check mark, The New Yorker, green check mark, The Guardian, green check mark, Huffington Post, green check mark, Vice News, green check mark, TMZ, green check mark, Buzz frickin' News, BuzzFeed News. Are you kidding me? BuzzFeed, green check mark, The Blaze. Nah, red. Red. Daily Wire, red. Red. Drudge, red. Wait a minute. So I looked into it this morning on what exactly do you have to do to get the green check mark? And some of these I agree with Microsoft and some of them I don't when it comes to The Blaze. But I thought I'd get our managing editor on the phone now, Leon Wolf. Hello, Leon. How are you?
Hey, Glenn. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. You know, we have a red shield.
I do. I do. You know, they contacted me about this a few months ago and asked me some questions via email. And it was obvious what was going on, even from the introductory email here. Kind of ridiculous, but it's a fun day to be talking about this. Because
is it?
You know, just this morning, I was reading NBC News, green check mark, NBC News story. They had this Nathan Phillips guy on, the Covington. And Savannah Guthrie interviewed him, and they're writing up the interview. And they do stuff like this. They say, Nathan Phillips says that the teens around him were chanting, build the wall. That's it, like, period. That's it. There's no, like, and also the video shows that was absolutely not true, because we have video of the entire confrontation. And
sure.
Why was that happening? They have Nathan Phillips says they were blocking his access to where he wanted to go, period. And there's no, like, in the interest of responsibility, we feel compelled to tell you that the video shows he was heading in one direction, stopped, and headed over to confront the students, even by his own admission in other interviews that he's given. So it's a fun day to be discussing this for sure. But
So let me just say this. We got a green check mark. There are 9 categories. And we got a green check mark. Does not repeatedly publish false content. Oh, well, thank you for that.
Right.
But I don't know if I can give that to MSNBC.
No. You know,
or in this case, not. NBC. In the case of Trump, CNN.
Right. We also, Daily Beast. got a green check mark. You and I know they published, since I've been here, probably over half a dozen stories about this company that we know to be false because we were there.
We were there. We were there. And by the way, I'm wondering if the Daily Beast is writing about all of the layoffs from Condé Nast. Let me just go through them. Vanity Fair. I think it had some cutoffs. BuzzFeed is cutting 15%. Didn't we cut 10% and they said we were over? BuzzFeed cutting 15%. Verizon Media cutting 7%. New layoffs at Gannett Papers. These are all today. I'm just wondering if the Daily Wire is declaring those institutions dead as well.
You meant the Daily Beast, not the Daily Wire, of
course. Daily Beast. Daily Beast. Okay.
Oh, another reason to give you a red shield. You can't even get the daily things right anymore.
You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Okay, so the first one, does not repeatedly publish false content. Thank you for that, Microsoft. Gathers and presents information responsibly. We get a green check mark. We get a red check mark or a shield because we don't regularly correct or clarify errors.
And this is just absolutely false. And look, we're human beings just like anybody else, and sometimes we make mistakes. But I think that we go above and beyond any media source that I'm aware of in terms of transparency with which we correct errors. And I'll tell you, just in the interest of being fair and forthcoming, we got burned like a lot of people did a couple weeks ago with that statement that supposedly was made by The Rock. I don't know if you remember this whole incident where Dwayne The Rock Johnson allegedly said all these things about Snowflake and so on and so forth. We had no way of knowing that it was fake. It was reported everywhere. So we kind of reported and summarized his comments. You know, he came out later that afternoon and said, it's not true. I never said this. That interview was fake. We went, pulled down the entire story and put it in its place. You know, we apologize. We had reason to believe that he said this. But, you know, he's come out and said that it wasn't true. And we regret having published this and are sorry to our audience. We even changed the headline so that if people clicked on it, they wouldn't see, you know, because people do on the internet. They just read the headline and that's it. We changed the entire headline to just say, Rock says he never made those comments, totally fake, I never admit it. We pulled it down off all our social pages. We went above and beyond.
Well,
contrast, the Washington Post corrected, what, yesterday that Nathan Phillips was not a Vietnam veteran, even though that information came out after like 30 minutes of people looking around on the internet. So, I don't know. I will say that what got them, what they said when they initially contacted me, was they brought up a couple of old stories that, about which there was controversy, and they said, look, PolitiFact says that this is not true. Well, PolitiFact is a left-leaning organization, and the stories in question were stories about which there was kind of a factual dispute. You know, the left and the right were looking at it different ways, and look, we don't recognize the authority of PolitiFact to say what's true or not true. I mean, that's part of our job as a news organization. So that's where we are on that.
So the next one is handles the difference between news and opinion responsibly.
Right. So their complaint about this, and if you go to our site, you have, you know, clips of, like you, from your show.
Mm-hmm.
Today there will be two or three clips that will have a video, and then we'll have a little text write-up. And it'll say, you know, today on Glenn's program, he talked about this. And a lot of that is your opinion. And they say, well, why isn't this stuff more clearly labeled opinion commentary? Or, you know, so why doesn't it have a huge thing, this is just opinion up there?
Well, do they have that for Rachel Maddow? Does NBC have that for Rachel Maddow?
Yeah, if you go to MSNBC right now and look at, click on Rachel Maddow in the top right-hand corner and click on her links, there's nothing on there that says this is Rachel's opinion. Or on the right for Fox News, it's the same thing. You click on the Hannity clips, there's not a big thing that says opinion or commentary or anything like that. So it is a double standard, I think, in that case.
Avoids deceptive headlines. I think they kind of have a point on this, but they have a point on this with everybody. Everybody should get an X on this.
Well, I think that we try to be as fair as absolutely possible with our headlines. I mean, we really do.
Yeah, and we go through cycles. There are times when, you know, I'll read something, I'll go, come on, and we change it. So we have gone through cycles. We're better some days than we are on other days.
Right. That's absolutely. I think that that's fair. But I think that, you know, definitely as far as, you know, it comes through us, you know, we try to be fair. And there are sometimes, you know, just by the nature of the staff whom we are, we don't always have time to look at every single headline before it goes on the site. But, you know, we talk about those things with our writers and try to say, look, even if the story is accurate, we want the headline to be fair, not just accurate, but fair to everybody involved as well. We don't want to, you know, drag people through the mud needlessly, you know, and especially if we're not 100% sure and certain of our facts, even if they're people who are, you know, our political enemies. So that's something I think that we do try to do.
Reb's website discloses ownership and financing. I mean, up until just a couple of weeks ago, everybody knew who that was. I mean, it was in every single article written about the Blaze.
Yeah, I really just don't even understand that.
Yeah.
Clearly
labels advertising. Anytime there's an advertising on our site that is not just a box ad, which are clear, it'll say sponsored content. It says that right up at the top, and I've been very clear. Do not let people click on stuff that doesn't say sponsored content. I don't want to trick people into ads.
I completely agree, and that's I know that's been the case since I've been here as well. You know, that's something I've been adamant about as well. And a lot of, you know, sites do this where they present, you know, text, you know, stories that, like, you know, they kind of look like stories, but, you know, you and I have both been insistent with everybody on the ad sales team or whatever. They're going to say, this is a sponsored link. This is, you know, sponsored by such and such and such and such. And I believe that we've been completely above board with that. I'm not aware of a single instance where that.
No, neither am I. Reveal who's in charge, including any possible conflicts of interest. And that one ties into this. Site provides the name of content creators along with either contact or biographical information. Leon, we go further than anyone else, do we not?
Yeah. If you go and you click. Now, I mean, I just did this with a story that was at the top by our writer, Aaron Cullen. You click and it has a little bio. You know, Aaron went to such and such school and worked, you know, it has his little, you know, picture. I don't think that anymore, you know, we did just do a redesign of the site about a month ago. I don't think the feature that you used to be able to just click there and send them an email. I believe that that's broken. I just discovered that today. But until a month ago, you were able to send and click an email or whatever, however you wanted to contact our reporters, you could certainly do that.
We even go to the goal of the story. I mean, at least up until a month ago, we were doing goal of the story. I even wanted to have, you know, their standing. Are they, you know, are they libertarian? Are they conservative? Are they liberal? I mean, we've gone more than anyone else on this. This just goes to show you that the Shield, and this is the first one, they're all going to do this. If they find no problem with BuzzFeed and CNN and MSNBC, and they say that Rachel Maddow, well, they separate news from opinion, but they do it exactly the way we do, there is no use to this Shield. But I warn you, it's another attack on the right voices in America. Anybody who disagrees with the big conglomerates and the big old line media and those in Silicon Valley, you're going to be in trouble. And it's why we're building the Blaze. We all have to stick together. We have to hang together or we will surely hang separately. Leon, thank you so much. By the way, you can contact him at Leon Wolf at the Blaze or follow him on Twitter at Leon H. Wolf. You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
The Glenn Beck Action News Team in action this morning. I don't think that's a teletype, but sounds just like an electric type, but I'll take it. The Action News team has some grave news to report this morning. News that affects every man, woman, and child on this planet. You probably aren't aware of this, but according to forecasts by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we are all now dead. We just don't know it yet. An update at 11. The people you see walking down the street, your coworkers, the driver in the car next to you, right now, even Stu across the table who has sports for you in a few minutes, and the rest of the staff here in the Action News newsroom. All of us dead. And it is our fault. You see, in 2017, it marked a watershed year for those who believe in man-made climate change. Last year was a great tipping point where our actions, America's greed, where the consequences of our modern society, our technology-centric lives that require energy and industrial production. Last year, we reached the point of no return. Our own need to own a car, to have electricity in our homes, a 65-inch 4K TV. Oh, those are sweet. And to provide just a better living for our children killed us in the end. Capitalism killed us and destroyed most of the animal life on the planet as well. According to many climate alarmists, a.k.a. scientists, citing studies produced or published by the IPCC, it's already too late. From this year forward, the damage we have already done is so great, according to the United Nations, that it is irreversible. We didn't heed the warnings from Al Gore and that really cute guy from Titanic. We didn't heed the warnings of Matt Damon, Oprah Winfrey, and yes, even Bill Nye, the science guy. We didn't listen, and now we're all dead. Except, maybe not. There is some good news. It turns out we may have some time left. Miraculously, out of the Twitter sphere comes our salvation. The governor of Washington, the state, has granted us a temporary stay of execution. Governor Jay Inslee has indicated just this morning that it is definitely not too late. Not siding with the IPCC or the consensus of all of the scientists, except for the really bad ones that should be in jail or killed, apparently we have 59 days left to do something. Inslee tweeted earlier this week, "We have just 59 days to do our part to save children from an endless cycle of crop-killing droughts 1 year and rivers spilling their banks the next. To save the salmon from dying." Sorry, I was just thinking of my kids and they said something funny the other day. To save the salmon from dying in ever-warming rivers and our forest from being reduced to plumes of ash. That all sounds pretty dire, but still better than us dead, as we were just a few minutes ago. But we all have only 59 days to buy a Prius and start composting. Perhaps even better news, just handed to me. We also have received a royal pardon. Out of the halls of Buckingham Palace, we learned today that Prince Charles has declared that Jay Inslee is wrong. We now actually have 35 years to tackle climate change. The price of capitalism and consumerism is just too high, the prince told a group of industrialists. This, indeed, gang, is exciting news. I wasn't even going to go throw it to the buxom weather babe, because I thought, what's the point in weather if we're all dead? And who really cares about sports if we're going to be dead in 30 or 53 days?
Main reason I do care about sports, Glenn.
But now that we have 35 years, what's interesting about Prince Charles' proclamation about the climate tipping point is that it isn't his first. In July of 2009, after meeting with scientists from the European Union who provided studies to the IPCC, Charles declared that we had a mere 96 months to implement changes and curb our behavior and populations to save the world. He stood firmly by that forecast until the 96 months passed, when he indicated we probably have a little more time. Of course, if the original tipping point were a mere 8 years in 2009, the new tipping point is 35 more years from now than his original forecast, which should have been 44 years, which is off by just a hair. Maybe we should forgive the prince. After all, he's just a prince, and he's relying on the opinions of top UN scientists. I mean, after all, he had two choices in women. He killed the pretty woman. Now, all we have to do is...
This is a news broadcast?
Sorry, that was opinion this journalist.
That's why you get a red shield.
So,
that's why it happens.
This is the Action News team. Don't you hear the credibility of the...
somewhat
kind of like teletype thing in the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Nobody even knows what a teletype is these days, but we still rip and read. So now we have until 2052 before capitalism destroys us. Then again, maybe not. If we examine their track record, it is clear that UN scientists may be using nothing more than a crystal ball and horoscope section of the National Enquirer, which has been discredited ever since it got into bed with Donald Trump. Before then, it was impeccable. In 1982, the then UN Environmental Program issued a stark warning that industrialized countries only had 10 years to curb smog and ozone-depleting chemicals before the world would reach a climate tipping point where the sun would cook the planet, causing the death of all life. That would have been in 1982. They re-upped the ante with another report in 1989, just in time to tell us we're safe for a few more years. They issued the same timeline in 1989, saying now we would all be dead by 1999. But this time, they turned their attention, for the first time, to carbon dioxide and other chemicals they identified as pollutants caused by the burning of fossil fuel. In 1996, then 2002, then 2007, the UN revised its doomsday clock over and over each time, extending the estimate of the climate tipping point by 7 years, then 12 years, then 10 years. Other environmental groups and activists have also gotten into the action. In 2009, James Hansen of NASA declared before Congress that we only had the length of Obama's first term through 2012 to prevent man-made climate catastrophe.
If only those 2012 predictions were true. Think of how much we would have skipped.
This journalist think that way, please.
I mean, we even got a movie out of it.
I'm serious. I've got a rolling stool and a rope in the other room. I can. This sentiment was echoing a fundraising newsletter put out by the World Wildlife Federation, which stated earlier in 2009 that humankind only had another 5 years to avert disaster. In a recent article by Climate Depot, they point out that a review of press articles and media coverage going back to 1980 finds no fewer than 1,250 articles quoting scientists, politicians, celebrities, and pundits, all giving us various climate tipping points, predictions of some date in the future that will represent a Rubicon that if we cross without dramatically shifting our capitalist behavior, it will spell our inescapable demise. According to climate alarmists, we seem to be serially doomed. But given the track record of hundreds upon hundreds of different such predictions, all proven to be utter nonsense, a reasonable person is forced to ask, why should we listen to anything these people have to say, especially if we only have 12 years left? Now on to sports. Oh, yes. Does nobody have a memory?
Just, yeah, at some point when you get the wrong prediction over and over and over and over again, you're supposed to adjust, maybe change the person you're listening to, maybe get less dire, maybe get less certain. And yet they get more and more certain.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes. All right. We have Andrew Heaton joining us. I wanted to bring Andrew in because we have a tremendous opportunity as a nation next week to forever rid ourselves of the State of the Union, mm-hmm. which I think would be great.
Yeah, because you're not a royalist. You're an actual constitutional Republican.
Yes, and here's the idea. This is supposed to be a letter from time to time from the president. That's what it says. The president shall, from time to time, give a State of the Union to the Congress. And it was always a letter. Until radio and television showed up.
That also implies that the founders of the country were like, you know what? the president's probably going to be so removed from this whole process, we need to have a constitutional provision that requires him to occasionally brief us on what he's up to.
Right.
That's like,
right.
You know, because he's just out fishing.
Right.
You know,
once
every couple of years, come in, let us know what you've been working on.
I think this country would be a lot better is if Donald Trump would give the State of the Union address next week, either in line at a McDonald's or just hanging up the phone from ordering a pizza. And so, look, I got to get this, but I'm really close to the pizza parlor. It'll be here any minute. So let me just tell you, once the doorbell goes off, I'm gone.
That would be great if he did it. If he did it during a phone call to order a pizza. So he's like, my fellow Americans, the State of the Union. Yeah, medium is strong. And you guys want pepperoni? I'm going to get pepperoni. I'm going to get sausage too. And the border, like, I would be fantastic.
Yeah,
I would love
great.
That. I hope he live tweets the whole thing from Burger King. That is my goal.
I think he's actually, he said yesterday he's going to do it later once the government opens up.
This is a big moment. He likes his big moments, right? It's TV moment.
We are talking about Trump. He does like attention. Yeah. I don't see, I would like if... If Trump tweets out, hey, we're not an imperial power, I'm just going to send out a PDF of the State of the Union address. Everybody stay home and read your Kindle. I would be like, oh, he's been captured. This is like the pod people have taken over him.
Deep state.
Yeah.
He's audio and animatronic. So I've heard some people are speculating that he would go down to the border. And let me tell you something. Remember when we went down to the border and...
I didn't go, but yes, I do remember when you went.
That's right. It was too dangerous for you. Mm-hmm. Went down to the border, did it at night. We were there during the day and night, and we went in, and you could watch people coming over the border at night. It's amazing. And no one came over this bridge. Now, we were under the bridge, and the bridge goes over the river, and there's really nothing but kind of like woods area down underneath this bridge. And at one point, I'm down in the woods with the border agents, and people are running everywhere. And I said, how come nobody just comes over the bridge? And he said, it's actually because of the drug lords. He said, the drug lords tell everybody. Now, this is under Obama, when all you had to do was say to a border agent, I'm a refugee. I need
asylum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You were in. No matter what was going on, if you said those words, you were in. And it was very clear to everybody. But all these people were coming in the cover of darkness and paying these smugglers and risking their life coming across the river, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, bridge, because that's all they have to say. And he said, yes, the drug lords tell them that's a lie. And so you have to go with them over the river. And usually what happens is if there's two people, they'll make it so expensive that only one can go. And the other one has to stay there with the drug lords until that other person does some favor for them in the United States. And that will pay for the passage of the other person. So we're growing crime. We're putting these people in horrible situations. I think the president should go down to the border and stand on that bridge at night and say, and not with a crowd, just I'm here, just this little podium on this empty bridge at night. I'm here at the border, and this is what it's all about. And I know people have come and, you know, come during the day, but this is when it happens. And right now, right on this side of the bridge and this side of the bridge, there are people crossing, and there are border guards that are risking their life. And this is what this is all about. I think that would be a great statement. I don't know, because he is so theatrical, I don't know why he's not using this as a, Ted Cruz invited me to do it at the Senate. I'm going to do it there. Why is he not doubling down on this?
It was very strange yesterday, too, where he kind of called out Pelosi and said, all right, if you're going to cancel me, cancel it. Go ahead. I dare you. And she's like, okay, I cancel it. And he's like, okay, we'll do it after then. It was like it was a weird Donald Trump reaction to her calling him out.
But hadn't he also, at one point canceled her plane flights to Belgium and things like that?
Yeah, because she canceled.
Going back and forth.
Because she canceled this.
Which was a wonderful display of our elected leaders just really being adults in the room. Just
I loved it, actually. That was fun.
Yeah. No, I watched that I do a podcast that on the Blaze, Something's Off with Andrew Heaton, and I was like, how can I turn this into like a 10-minute rom-com? Starring Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump. I think there's a story there. I'm think I'm trying to come up with a way to make Shut Down the musical. I think that would actually be a really good Broadway musical. I don't have the...
Well, it's a happy musical.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Everybody's thrilled.
Everybody's thrilled. Everybody leaves, you know, on a new high. It's Shut Down the musical.
Now, how much of your distaste for the State of the Union is based on the fact that the 100-year or so tradition of writing it in a letter was broken by Woodrow Wilson?
Well, a lot of it. But it is only beaten by the being forced to view all of the cretins that say horrible things about Obama or about Donald Trump online. And then when he's walking down that damn aisle, those are the ones that are trying to stop and get a selfie with him.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
It's just like, ick, ick. I just, ick.
Do you think, does Trump like that? I mean, maybe he likes the fact that they all have to kind of kiss his ass
I think he likes attention, and he likes fawning. I think he's a big fan of it. My other hope, by the way, I was thinking about the other thing. My main hope is that he tweets from Burger King. My secondary hope is that he realizes how desperately he needs to give a State of the Union address and tries to sneak in to the house inside of a horse costume. That's my like kind of like a Little Rascal sketch. And people are like, well, that's not the president. That's clearly a horse that's wandered into the House of Representatives.
He takes off the head.
We need to get the horse wrangler, the House horse wrangler. It's probably, some guy from Texas. And he gets to the podium and just starts doing it until they drag him off. It would be really fun. It would be a fun day to comment.
I really honestly do think that there are things that he could do that would be tremendous. For instance, come on, he's the president. He's got to be able to get into the House chamber. It's closed. Get that guy who always says, Mr. Speaker, get that guy. He's got the keys. Open up the doors. And then him walk in. Imagine this. He gets a live cam. Okay, not a fixed camera, but a live cam that's up on a shoulder, and maybe a couple of them.
Like he's doing Snapchat, or like...
No. He could do it on Facebook or something. But he's got a mobile camera crew, and the limousine pulls up to the back of the Capitol, and he opens up the limousine door, and he's like, "Okay, this is the thing you don't always see. This place is usually teeming with cretins." And they're all getting ready to either clap or sit down and not clap, depending on who's president. Mm-hmm. So tonight's the night I'm supposed to give the State of the Union. But Nancy Pelosi said no. But I don't really care because those people really, they're not representing you. And you know what this is like. In fact, get the guy with the keys. You know, the guy's Mr. Speaker. Go ahead. Get him. Is that him over there? Yeah. Open up the doors, will you? Now he's in waiting for the doors to open up, and then he mockingly says, Mr. Speaker, in a dark room, the President of the United States. And he's got in his pocket a little clap machine where he pushes it and goes, yeah. Then he goes down and he just kind of sits on the rail in the house and he says, look, I'm going to give you the State of the Union. And because they didn't show up, I don't think it's that hard. I'm just, you know, that's where the Democrats sit. And this is on the right is where the Republicans sit. And I can just do this myself. So here's what I'm going to do. And he starts talking about the State of the Union. And he just presses a little, that little clap thing.
Yeah.
And maybe he says that's from, you know, and he looks over to the left. Okay, they'd be clapping at that one. And then he says something else. They'd be clapping at that one. But they wouldn't. These people over here, they'd still be sitting down. I mean, I can do this as a one-man show and just mock it.
I would enjoy that. I would, you know what? That would be a good way to kind of conclude, hopefully, the imperial address to the nation.
So we have a whole network planned for State of the Union. I'm trying to convince them that if he doesn't do something, I'm trying to suggest that maybe we still go through with it, but we get Mark Levin to do a 5-minute State of the Union. We get Steven Crowder to do, if he were president, do your State of the Union. I'd do my State of the Union. Hmm. All the big names would do the State of the Union as they would deliver it if they were Donald Trump today. What would they say? If they were president, what would you do?
That's a great idea. That would be a great. Yeah. That would be great.
One way or another, we're doing a State of the Union address, I think.
Is that true? I don't think that's
I'm pretty sure that's
going to
be true.
But...
I'm pretty sure that's going to be true.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, all right. He seems sure, Andrew. I don't know how to react to that, but
I'm making stuff for it either way. They've reached out to me to come up with some color commentary for the State of the Union. Yeah. So I will figure out a way to add it.
Even if it's a puppet show, I might do a puppet show. I might do the State of the Union as a puppet show.
If I were president, I would 100% invite Astor and Waldorf, the two old Muppet guys, into the Peanut Gallery. 1,000% I would do that.
Great
and like gesture to them and like get a standing ovation for the two old angry Muppets.
What's wrong with this guy? It would be tremendous.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.